This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. So today I want to share with you some of the books that I read in 2022 that I found most beneficial. Alhamdulillah, this year I set the goal of reading 60 books and I managed to meet that goal by November. So now I'm trying to get it up to 65 by the end of December. And I have here, out of the 60 books that I read this year, 10 that I found very interesting. Now, interesting doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with the author. It doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with everything that's in the book. But by interesting, I mean it made me think. It stuck with me. It's a book I'd read again. And it changed the way I thought about certain topics. So I have them piled up next to me, and I'm just going to give a very brief review of each of these books, starting with the book I'm currently reading, The Parables of the Quran by my beloved teacher, Dr. Yasir Qadhi. Right, so The Parables of the Quran, this is a summary of the Ramadan series that Sheikh Yasir Qadhi did, I think last year, where he goes through about 28 or 29 of the parables, the metaphors and sayings in the Quran, and he explains them. This is an amazing book because I find that when it comes to tafsir, one of the areas that is not explained well in English is the parables. You know, we tend to just gloss over the parables. We come to some of these like the unraveling of yarn, or, you know, light upon light in a lantern, or, you know, the hypocrites being such that when the lightning strikes, they move, and when lightning goes away, they surround it with darkness. These kind of metaphors or parables in the Quran, they tend to go over our head. And this book is an excellent resource for explaining them in a way that the average English reader understands. So if you are a fan of tafsir, if you're trying to understand the Quran deeper, if you find the verses about the parables difficult to understand, this is a must read. Right? This is an amazing book by a really amazing author, and it's been one of my favorite reads so far this year. I should be done with it in 2 or 3 days, inshallah. The next book, this book took me the longest to read because it's one of the biggest books I read this year, but truly phenomenal work. Reflecting on the Names of Allah by Sheikha Jinan Yusuf. Right, so Sheikha Jinan Yusuf, very famous author and a speaker from the United Kingdom. She's also part of Yaqeen Institute like I am. And this work is just an absolute masterpiece, really. If you are dealing with wanting to understand the names and attributes of Allah deeper, this is probably the best resource in the English language on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like the book before this, you know, when it comes to tafsir, again, the names and attributes of Allah are often glossed over, right? So we find that when at the end of most of a lot of verses, you'll find that some names of Allah are mentioned. And many of us, we don't take the time to sit and think, what do these names mean and how should it affect my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this book is an absolute masterpiece of dealing with that topic. It goes into many of the beautiful names of Allah in a lot of details, explaining what it means and also explaining how understanding the meaning of that name should impact our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's probably one of the best things about this book, that when you understand the names of Allah, it should have an impact in your life. So for example, I'm just opening now and looking randomly, the name Al-Aziz, right? The one from whom strength and dignity and honor comes, right? That Izzah comes from Al-Aziz. So what do we do with the name of Allah, knowing that Allah is Al-Aziz, the source of all dignity and honor? So she says in the book that we should fear only Allah, we should be strong for the sake of Allah and through the help of Allah, because He is the source of power. We should be a source of strength for others. We should have humility before Allah, recognizing that He is Al-Aziz, and we should live a dignified life. We should live a life of Izzah so that our lives can be pleasing to Al-Aziz. And that's just an example of one of the many, many gems in this absolute masterpiece. So again, so for both the books I mentioned, a must reads, right? for understanding the Quran, for understanding our basic aqidah, these are must-read books. The parables of the Quran will help you to understand the various metaphors in the Quran on a much deeper level. And reflecting on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Dr. Sheikha Jinan Yusuf is an absolute must-read if you want to understand the Asma wa Sifat on a personal level. If you want to understand it in a way where you'll be able to relate to the names and understand them and develop a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through them and improve your own practice of Islam spiritually through them. Now, moving on to something a little bit more controversial. What is a madrasa? By Ibrahim Musa. Just disclaimer beforehand, before anyone jumps on me, I'm not a fan of the author in general, right? But this specific book, I liked it. This specific book, and that's the thing, even if you don't generally agree with someone and their understanding of Islam, it doesn't mean that everything they put out is wrong. Sometimes they get things right. And I think one of the reasons why this book resonated with me is that the author in this book, basically what he does is he gives his personal biography of studying in a madrasa during the Alimiyah program in India, and how after that studying in an academic environment, comparing the two. And why this resonated with me is because I had a very similar journey, a very similar life experience, that I spent 7 years doing the Alimiyah program, and after I graduated I did a bachelor's in Islamic studies as well. So I found a lot of the content in this book to be very much a reflection of my own personal journey through Islamic knowledge. Now, the author and I ended up in two very different worlds, right? And very different understandings of Islam. So that's why, in general, I don't approve of most of his books. But generally, to understand what the madrasa system is, the Nizamiya curriculum, its pros and cons, where it came from, its place in the world today, and its struggle with modernity, a very frank and a very politically incorrect discussion on the topic, I found this book to be very interesting. Now, would I recommend it? It depends on who you are. For the average reader, I would say no. For the average reader, I don't really think this book holds much benefit. But for someone who is trying to figure out, do I study to Western academia, do I go to a traditional Dar Ulum, do I go to an Islamic university, this book helps you to understand a bit, especially about the Darul Uloom or Madrasa system and the pros and cons of it. But again, just to give you my opinion on all this, as someone who has studied in all three environments, I've done the Darul Uloom program, I've done the bachelor's degree with an Islamic university, and I spent a year in a Western university studying Islam as well. And my general opinion based on my studies is that the best way to study Islam academically is through an Islamic university. So you're getting that proper bachelor's, master's, PhD level Islamic studies, but in an Islamic environment with actual righteous teachers, right? I found that the disadvantage of doing the Alimiyah program is I didn't have any actual credentials to transfer into the real world. That's why I had to do a bachelor's degree after that. And the disadvantage of studying in a Western university is that you're going to be bombarded with these liberal ideas that could completely destroy your aqidah and destroy your understanding of Islam. So an Islamic university is the best option. The Alimiyah program is still better than a Western university. That's my take on it. But nonetheless, if you just want an academic look at what is a madrasa and its history and its curriculum and its pros and cons, it's a very interesting book. The next book, I came across it by chance. Right, it's not even sold anywhere. It just so happened that a friend of mine was traveling to Istanbul and met the author, and the author gave him a few free copies and he gave one to me. So I wouldn't even have known this book exists otherwise. And that's the book Lessons from My Life by Ahmed Tutunji. Now, if you don't know who Ahmed Tutunji is, absolute legend of the Dawah in the English speaking world. He's currently retired, I think, living in Istanbul. But if you are in the USA or South Africa, and I think even Canada and the UK, many of the Islamic organizations that you are familiar with, he was one of the founders. Right, this is a man who around 50 years ago, he was just founding Islamic organizations all over the English-speaking Muslim world. And he has spent 60 years doing da'wah work. He spent 60 years building up the legacy of Islam in English-speaking world. And for many of us, we are a continuation of that legacy, even if we don't know his name, even if we've never met him. Because the institutes that we have studied at or found Islam at, or for many of you who are converts, even the institute you converted to, he may have been one of the founders, right? So this is a absolutely amazing biography where he goes through some of the lessons he learned in 60 years of da'wah. It's a very personal book where he basically reflects on some of the leadership lessons and spiritual lessons and da'wah lessons he learned from spending 60 years in the field of da'wah. So if you're doing Islamic work, one of the best things you can do is learn from the experiences of your elders. And that's exactly what Ahmad Tudunji is. He's one of our elders in this field. Again, this book, I don't know where you can get it. Honestly, I don't know. I just came across it by chance, and I'm grateful for that. It's one of my favorite books this year. And the next book, very similar. Another amazing author, Personal Reflections, Sheikh Sharif Albana, on his book, Istanbul, Reflections on Life, Ideas, and People. So, similar story. The author of this book, Sheikh Sharif Albana, was in South Africa about 2 months ago, and I met up with him, and he was selling copies of this book that he had written, which is also a very personal book. It's not an academic work. So essentially what this book is that the author of the book, if you don't know who he is, he's the founder of Claritas Books, he's the founder of Awakening Music, he's the founder of over 25 organizations. He's a scholar, he's an author, he's an entrepreneur. Whether you agree with some of his organizations or not, it's quite impressive the amount of work he has done in his life for a man who's still relatively young, and the amount of reach his work has had while he remains anonymous, right? Most people have heard about his organizations but never heard about him. He's a very behind the scenes kind of guy. And he spent the lockdown in Istanbul, and this is basically a collection of his journal entries during the lockdown. So it's a very personal book where he was writing in his journal during the lockdown, and he took some of the most beneficial journal entries and put them together in a book. I personally loved it. I love these kind of books, to go into the mind of someone who generally doesn't share their thoughts with the public, and to get an idea of behind the scenes what life is like for them, their struggles, their personal tragedies, their inspirations. I find that to be amazing. So I absolutely love this book. It's a very short book. I read it like in 2 days. And it's a very personal book in that he talks about family members passing away and friends passing away and how he dealt with that. It's the kind of book I enjoy and that I take inspiration from. So highly recommend it if you're into that kind of thing, personal journals. Okay, another book that I picked up on the exact same day, and also the author was there as well. So essentially, the event was a book launch for this book, Living Where We Don't Make the Rules by Ibrahim Rasool. And both Sharif Albana and Ibrahim Rasool were the guest speakers that night. I was the chair for the evening, and they were the guest speakers. We actually have the video up on my YouTube channel of the event. And so I picked up both of these books that night at the book launch. This book is interesting. It's a mixed bag. Right? So essentially what happened was Ibrahim Rasool hosted a conference in Paris where he got academics from around the English-speaking Muslim world to come and do presentations on how do we as Muslims live as minorities in the non-Muslim world. And he transcribed and compiled all of these presentations into a single book, which is this book right here. I love the name of the book, firstly, Living Where We Don't Make the Rules. It really summarizes our core problem, right, as minorities, that we don't make the rules. And sometimes we wish that we lived where we did make the rules. Now, because the book is a compilation of essays by different authors, it's a mixture of good and bad. There's some things in here that I strongly disagree with. Like, I consider some of the papers in here to be very liberal and modernist, and that's why I can't really recommend this book to the average person. Right? It's an academic work. It's meant to get us thinking. It's meant to get conversation started. It's meant to get the ball rolling on how do we deal with contemporary issues. So we might not necessarily agree with the solutions presented, but at least the questions asked, we can agree upon them and maybe find other solutions to them. So the book talks about things like Maqasid al-Sharia as a basis for dealing with contemporary issues. It talks about dealing with Islamophobia. One of the things I liked about this book is that it draws a lot of lessons from the experience of South African Muslims, right? And as a Muslim living in South Africa, born in South Africa, raised in South Africa, who has traveled to other lands where Muslims are minorities, I can say that South African Muslims did the best job of preserving our Islam and building an actual community in a non-Muslim land, right? That where I live, we make up like 3% of the community, but everywhere I go, there are masajid, there are halal restaurants, there are halal butcheries, halal bakeries, there are Muslims on every level of influence. Islam has been preserved in every way, from the dressing to the mannerisms to the dawah. Everything has been preserved. So compared to many of the other minorities where they are still young, like they're still second and third generation minorities, we in South Africa, like I personally, I'm fourth generation South African. My great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather moved to South Africa. But as a fourth generation South African, there are those who are even been here even longer. There are Muslims in South Africa whose families go back 300 years. So as a minority, Islam has been in South Africa for a long time. And the thing I liked about this book is that it draws lessons from that for the other countries to imitate, right? So that's one of the good points of this specific book. But in general, I cannot recommend this book to the average reader. It's very academic. It's a mixture of good points and liberal ideas that I would not agree with. I would say if you are in this field, if it's something that interests you, if it's something you can read with a critical eye, then I would recommend it, right? But make sure you're reading it with a critical eye, because there are some ideas in here that would be wrong, right? Which is generally going to happen when you have a bunch of academics coming together to discuss a new issue. Okay, the next book that I read this year is Our Legends by Mufti Abdul Wahab Wahid. And honestly, I only bought the book because of the author, right? Mufti Abdul Wahab Wahid, absolutely wonderful brother from Miftah Institute in the USA. An amazing, amazing scholar who I greatly admire. And this book is a much more simpler book. It's actually something I would recommend even for teenagers. Essentially, what the author does is he compiles in very simple language and easy to read biographies of 10 legendary scholars. So this is a great introduction if you want to introduce the biographies of the ulama to a teenager or to a young Muslim who is not accustomed to reading academic works, or who finds general history books boring. This is an excellent book to introduce them to the topic. So in this book, Mufti Abdul Wahab and his co-author Mustafa Rashid, they cover the lives of my personal hero Omar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who I have written an entire book about that you can see in the background. He also covers the lives of Hassan al-Basri, Imam Abu Hanifa, Ash-Shafi, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. I'm not sure why Imam Malik wasn't covered. It's probably going to be in the next volume, because they do mention at the end that there is going to be more volumes on this. So hopefully Imam Malik will be covered there. Imam al-Bukhari, Salahuddin Ayyubi, Imam al-Nawawi, Shah Waliullah, another one of my personal heroes, and Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri. So it's a good mix of scholars from different eras, from different backgrounds, who accomplished different things. It's an excellent introductory work. Very simple. So if you're looking for something deep and academic, you're probably going to find it too simple. But if you're looking for a introduction to the biographies of ulama on a very easy to read level, I highly recommend this book. Right, so Our Legends by Mufti Abdul Wahab Wahid and Mustafa Rashid, published by Miftah Institute and Q Publishing, highly recommended as a introductory level work on the biographies of the ulama. The next book, I was looking everywhere for this book. I spent 5 months trying to get hold of a copy of this book, right? Futuwa by Sheikh Dawood Waleed. I kept messaging the author on WhatsApp, asking, where can I get your book? Where can I get your book? I can't find it anywhere. And Qadarullah, the publishers themselves were in my city for a day, and they wanted to meet with me for that day, and they gave me a gift, and the gift ended up being the exact book I was looking for. They actually gave me 5 books, but this was number one at the top of the list. So Qadarullah, the book I wanted, I got it. So this is a very important book. It's a very important book because it starts a discussion that is necessary in our times. And that is the discussion on the topic of masculinity, chivalry, and the concept of what does it mean to be a Muslim man. Now, this book is very introductory level. It's meant to just get the conversation started. So if you're looking for something in-depth and detailed on the concept of masculinity in Islam, you might be disappointed by this book. But if you're looking at the introduction to what exactly is Islamic masculinity and what are the core manners and characteristics of a Muslim man, then this is an excellent introductory work. And I feel this book will be, it will serve well as a textbook for youth halakas. If you are teaching teenagers, what does it mean to be a man? If you are training young people with youth camps and things like that, this is an excellent book for that specific demographic. Now, I myself am working on a book on this topic. I'm actually on my third draft, so I wrote an entire book, didn't like it, deleted it, wrote another book, didn't like it, deleted it. Third try, hopefully I get it right this time. And obviously, recently I started Izzah Academy that will be working towards reviving this concept. But this is the topic of our time, right? We are dealing with a very dangerous fitna in our time, where on one hand we have feminism that has basically emasculated men, and on the other hand we have the Red Pill movement that is putting down women and promoting a hedonistic, zina-fueled lifestyle. And how do we save our youth from both these extremes and bring them back to the middle part? And I think the discussion begins with training our boys to be futuwa, to train them in the concept of futuwa means young men. That's what it means, young masculinity. It's translated here as chivalry, but it comes from the word fata, which means a young man, and futuwa is that concept of moving from being a boy to being a young man. How do we help our young boys become young men? What are the qualities they need to have to serve their communities well, to serve their families well, to be leaders of the community? This is an excellent work in getting the ball rolling, getting the conversation started. We need a lot more books going deeper into the topic. That's what I'm planning on doing next. I'm actually in consultation with the author and getting his advice on my book as well. And just some of the ideas in this book. This book teaches young boys the importance of being honest, the importance of being humble, the importance of living a life of serving the community, the importance of generosity, of modesty, of ghaira, of controlling your sexual desires, of being brave, of having a sense of brotherhood. Now, these, I know some people feel they sound like very generic ideas and very generic qualities, but I think I'll go into more details about this book in a separate video. These are actually very essential today. We don't realize how many of our young men need to hear this, right? So we hear stories, for example, of young men saying stuff like, oh, we don't need to buy shampoo for our wives. There's nothing in the Quran and Sunnah that says we need to buy them handbags and shoes. And they forget the concept of generosity starts with your family, that the best money is the money you spend on your family, as per the hadith, right? We don't realize that for men to truly be providers, they have to be generous. So when you're talking about masculinity, you have to talk about generosity, right? Some people feel like that's a very generic trait, but no, in Islam, it's a core part of masculinity, that a man who is not generous is of no benefit to his family and is of no benefit to his community. It is an essential part of masculinity to be generous. So this is a really good introductory book, but it is an introductory level book. And I recommend every family get a copy, teach this to your teenagers, teach it in your youth halakas, and use it to get the ball rolling. And if you feel it's not deep enough, Write a book that expands upon it, right? Okay, just two more books to go through. As I said, I chose 10 books for this video. This is an absolutely beautiful book. Absolutely beautiful. With the Heart in Mind by Mikael Smith. Again, a book I was looking everywhere for and was so happy when I found a copy at our local bookstore at our Islamic Center. This is a book on emotional intelligence from an Islamic perspective. I don't know if anyone's written a book on this topic before. It's essentially an analysis of the seerah of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the perspective of his emotional intelligence. And what it does is it teaches you how to regulate your emotions, understand your emotions, tap into your moral conscious, right? The consciousness that Allah has put inside of us, that fitrah, and how to use all of this to benefit the ummah. And it analyzes all of this in light of the seerah, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was able to control his emotions and understand his emotions and teach this to others as well. So it's a bit of a academic work in the sense that it has to explain a lot of concepts that many of us are not familiar with, but it does a good job. It does an amazing job, and I absolutely love this book. I highly recommend this book, and it's definitely one of the books I'm building on for my book on Islamic masculinity, because I believe, especially today, emotional intelligence is a very important part of what young men need to learn, right? To be able to regulate their emotions, to control them, to understand them, is something that our young men don't understand, and we see this with the outbursts online. You know, the anger, the vulgarness, the harshness. They really need to learn the Sunnah method of engaging with people, and this is a good start. So again, a book I recommend for everybody, With the Heart in Mind by Mikael Smith. Finally, the last book that I finished reading, I just finished reading it this week, absolutely beautiful book. This is a gem, and I don't know how I never heard of it before, and how I haven't read it before, but this is an absolute gem. It's something I plan to teach my kids next year in homeschooling. Islamic Manners by the legendary Abdul Fada Abu Ghudda. The author himself, absolute legend of just the generation before us. And literally the generation before us. He's not an ancient scholar. He's passed away, you know, a few decades ago. And he's written some amazing works. Very few have been translated into English. So this book on manners, Islamic manners and character, is another field that I'm trying to revive through Izzah Academy and Islamic self-help, to get people back to having the manners and character of a true Muslim. And I've been looking for good books in English on this topic to recommend to people. Right till today, the main book I recommend, and I still recommend it as the main book, is Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. That is definitely the best book on the topic. Highly recommend it, and I am planning on teaching that book in a course soon, inshallah, maybe a seminar on Adab al-Mufrad. But for something shorter and simpler, this is an absolute gem, right? Islamic Manners by Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda is an absolute gem. He goes through, for example, very basic stuff that I noticed a lot of our young Muslims, they don't know. Very basic stuff that has been lost. Sunnahs that have just disappeared from the community. Things about being clean, being neat, speaking well, taking care of your guests, how to behave when you are visiting somebody else's home, how to behave when you're giving condolences to someone whose family members have passed away, how to behave when visiting the sick, how to behave at weddings, right? How to deal with non-Muslims in a kind and just manner. So it's a must read. It's a must read. These are very basic aspects of Islam that for some reason are lost nowadays, since we only talk Aqidah and Fiqh, we don't talk Akhlaq and Adab anymore. These very basic aspects of our religion have been lost. So what more can I say? This book is a must read. So yeah, that's it. I read 60 books this year. These are 10 that have stood out, that really caught my attention, and you know, really I'll probably go back to them and read them again. I recommend most of them. Some of them caught my attention, but I don't recommend them to the average reader. But most of the books, as I said, they're highly recommended, amazing books. And really, we all should have home libraries. We all should be reading these kind of books, and we all should be constantly increasing our knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can constantly be growing closer to Him through proper Islamic knowledge. So I hope you found this video beneficial. Jazakallah khairan. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.